Feel a need of the Lord's help this morning to bless His Word. It's not a light matter, I know, to handle His Word, but yet it's a privilege looking to the Lord to make it profitable to us. I'm thankful to serve such a God as that, a God that watches over us, a God that never slumbers nor sleeps. He's one whose eye is constantly over us, His ears are open unto our cries, and I'm so thankful for that night or day in the mountain or in the valley. I'm thankful to serve a God that's a very present help in our times of trouble. I'd like to consider thought the Lord's been dealing with me about of the influence of others. Whenever we look at the children of Israel, I'd like to start by turning our minds back to their story for a few minutes. The children of Israel, the people that God had set His name upon, that He had chosen, that He had called out to be a people unto Himself. He had made a covenant with them, made a promise that He would be their God and that they would be His people and that He would go before them and prepare a land for them. And the children of Israel witnessed so many times the working of the Lord. They witnessed His power and His might. They witnessed that cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night and the Red Sea that opened. We know the stories. They're encouraging to us. They're a reminder to us. They're teachers to us of God's dealings with His people. You know, the Lord, before the children of Israel left Egypt, you can read the story of this around the 12th chapter of Exodus, He inclined the hearts of their neighbors to come and bring their possessions to them. You read, they brought different valuable items to them of silver and gold and different things that the Lord, He gave a favor unto the children of Israel and inclined the hearts of their neighbors, the Egyptians, to come and bestow these things upon them. The Lord knew what was ahead, just as He does in our lives. He knows the things that we're going to need, and the Lord is able to provide where we wouldn't know how, where we wouldn't know from what resources to draw. The Lord is able to supply our every need. And so He did to the children of Israel. He provided the things that if you fast forward and look in the future of the children of Israel, when the time came that the Lord said, I want to have a place to dwell among you. And so the call went out to everyone that is of a willing heart. Come and bring. Every one of you now have a part to play. It's the Lord's house, but it's unto all of us. So all of you that are of a willing heart, come and bring of your possessions. And so they came and they brought everyone whose heart stirred him up within him. They brought to the Lord, they brought to the treasury and brought all those things before Moses and those that were overseeing the work to the point that they had too much stuff. There was an abundance that overflowed of all the things that the people gave. But you know, it wasn't just the people that gave it. It was the Lord that had given it. The Lord had given it to the children of Israel, and the children of Israel just turned and gave it back to the Lord. The Lord had given them something of value. He'd given them possessions. They didn't leave Egypt empty-handed. But do you know the most valuable thing that the Lord gave them was His presence. The most valuable thing that they left Egypt with was the presence of the Lord that they soon saw whenever the army of Egypt was following behind them, and His presence was there as a cloud. Unto the Egyptians, it was a dark cloud, like unto the night. And to the children of Israel, it was a bright light on that side of the cloud. The presence of the Lord. It'd be foolish to undertake something like that without the Lord's presence, to try to go up and, though they were many, many in number, to try to overthrow a power like Egypt would have been foolish. But the Lord was the one that was working for them, was the one that went before them, was the one that said unto Moses, tell my people that they go forward. This isn't a time to stop. I'm with you whithersoever thou goest. It was the promise, wasn't it also, and to Joshua, whenever your time is coming up, I've told you, don't be afraid. Don't fear, because I, the Lord, your God, goes before you wherever you turn and wherever you go. The most valuable thing that the children of Israel possessed, beyond the material possessions and the things that they carried along with them in their groups and their caravan as they went, the most valuable thing was the presence of the Lord and His Spirit that was willing to go before them and work among them and fight on their behalf. Moses, I believe, recognized that. And so whenever he met with the Lord one day, it is said that the Lord talked to him as a friend, face to face, or there right before him as a friend would face to face. He talked to him and Moses told him, "Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't carry us up. Lord, I know that without your presence, I don't have anything, not able to accomplish anything here." Do we feel that same desperate need for the presence of the Lord? You know, that's the most valuable thing that we could have. The most valuable thing that we could have in our lives individually or as a people of God is to have the presence of the Lord, to have His willingness to come and dwell among us and in us, to work with us, to work in our lives, to fight for us in our battles. Where would we be without the Lord working and intervening daily in our lives? You know, something that is valuable is worth guarding. Something that is of great value is worth protecting and guarding, because there are many, many thieves in the world. Remember walking through, it was the castle at Edinburgh, Scotland. Went through the crown room, the crown jewels of the kingdom. You know those were guarded? It wasn't a touching exhibit. It wasn't something that you could handle the crown and the crown jewels and the scepter or mitre or whatever they call it. But it was very heavily guarded. Guards and security systems and cameras and armed guards there and several layers of protection around that. Why is that? Because it's valuable. Because there are many thieves that if they had the opportunity would be glad to take the thing that is most valuable. And so it is in our lives, in our walk with the Lord. The thief that is out to steal and to kill and to destroy would like to take the thing that is most valuable away from us. So the thing that was most valuable to the children of Israel, the enemy was after that. Many enemies rose up against the Israelites. Many enemies tried to fight, they tried to overcome, but there was not one that was greater than the Lord. There was not one, while the children of Israel followed and obeyed the Lord, that they were able to overtake the children of Israel. That the children of Israel didn't have the resources or the might to be able while the Lord fought for them. But you know, the enemy is a relentless foe. He's one that's not going to turn away whenever you win one battle. The enemy's not going to go away for the rest of your life and say, "All right, I'm a defeated foe." We can live a life of victory, but we have to continue that life of victory. The enemy will come right back in by a different tactic, by a different method. So Israel, I believe it was Ahab at the time, whenever the Syrians, the enemy had come against them and they fought a battle, and they won the victory. But the prophet came up and told the king of Israel, "Go and mark yourself. Strengthen yourself. Take notice of this thing, that the enemy that is gone today will be back at the next season." Have you found that to be the case in your life with the enemy? You win one battle and be careful, because the enemy is going to come right back. The enemy, if he can't get you in one place, or along one line, he's going to come. You can be sure of it. You can write it down that the enemy's going to come back in, maybe through another way, another tactic, by different clothes. He's able to transform himself into different appearances, even as an angel of light. He's able to come to the children of Israel, not by armies of weaponry and all, and overtake them, but the enemy is very subtle. The enemy worked through some people from Gibeon, the people of Gibeon. And whenever they came, they didn't come as an enemy with sword and spear, but they came with old clothes and moldy bread and shoes that were deteriorating on their feet, and they came in a way to the children of Israel. The enemy was still trying to find an inroad here, but he worked in a different method. He took a different approach to be able, and you know what? He was successful there. He was successful because they sought not at the Lord. They looked at this and they assessed the situation, and this doesn't look like Jericho. This doesn't look like anything that's a foe to be reckoned with. This looks innocent. It looks harmless. And the enemy came in and was able, by subtlety, by deceit, he was able to gain the advantage. Let's look at Judges chapter 2. And the Lord honored the covenant that they made that day for generations to come. But what had the Lord told the children of Israel? Judges chapter 2. Judges 2 and 1 says, I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. Because you weren't willing. He had told the children of Israel, as you go into the land, was very explicit, was very clear with the instruction and the warning that he gave to the children of Israel. You are a separate people. You are to be a separate people, holy unto me. You're not to serve any other gods. You're not to set up any other idols and worship that. You're not to allow your hearts to go out after any other gods of the land that is around you. Don't go there. Don't allow your hearts to go out. Because I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. I want your heart and your allegiance. It's the only way that he's able to work with us. It's the only way that he's able to fight our battles for us. And you know, the children of Israel, it seems like, would have said, well, Lord, there's no way we're going to do that. There's no way that we're going to turn and worship the other gods of the world around us. But how long did it take for them to erect a gold calf? How long did it take for them to begin to murmur and complain? The Lord had told them, be careful, in my words, be careful when you go into the land that I'm about to send you into. The people there don't serve me. The people there do not follow after the Lord your God. So the warning that he gave them was, be careful. Why the need to be careful? Because we are a people that are susceptible to influence. We are a people that no matter how strong we think we might be, that I'd never fall for something like that. I'd never go into a land. I've seen you work, Lord. I know your ways. I know your laws. I know better than that. I'm able to handle this. You know, that ought to be a red flag in any of our minds, whether we say it with those words, to get into a place that I feel like I can handle this. To get into a place that I feel like I can go into dangerous territory and I'll be okay. I'm mature enough to handle this. I'm spiritual enough to handle this. I've known the way of truth long enough that I can go dabble a little bit here, that I can make a league with the inhabitants of the land around us. The Lord was trying to make a very clear distinction. When you go into the land, you are my people. You're not to serve any other god. And the carefulness that I want you to have is whenever you go into the land, don't make any league. In other words, don't give them any room. Don't give them any safe harbor. Don't allow them into this land to stay in the land, to have their own fortifications, to have their own cities. Because he said, if you do, it's going to be a snare to you. If you allow the enemy to stay in the land, well, what is the land for us today? The Lord's workings with the children of Israel was a type of our day, of a spiritual work of the heart. The land that we possess today is not a land with boundaries and borders and a welcome to the USA, but it's a spiritual land within. And the enemy that we're fighting would like to be able to possess this land, would like to be able to draw us away by the power of influence. And that's why the Lord warned the children of Israel that if you make a league with the people, you're not going to draw the people to me. They're going to draw you away from me. It's not, and how many times have we seen the story repeated over and over again? But I want to help them. I think I'll marry this person because I think I can help him. I've allowed my heart to, and I don't know if we hear enough of it today, of warning to our young people and our children, be careful. Guard your heart what you allow it to go out after. You may think that you're strong. You may think that you're well-grounded. But there is a carefulness for every one of us. No matter how long we've been saved, no matter how long we've been in the way, we are everyone susceptible to influence. We are able to be influenced if we're not careful. Samson was a very strong and a mighty man, but the enemy found a way to overcome Samson. It wasn't through a mighty army. It wasn't by the ability of or the strength of the gates, but it was by the power of influence. It was by being able to get in and influence Samson's heart. And it's what the enemy tried to do with the children of Israel. Whenever Balak was calling after Balaam and he wanted to curse Israel and wanted to be able to, because we can't overthrow these people. Every time we try it, every turn, we're not able to overtake this. Balaam, would you come and put a curse on the people? And won't go into all of the story, but the Lord, as he prevented that from happening on multiple occasions, Balaam finally came to a place that he gave the counsel, I know how to do it. You want to overcome Israel? I know the way to do it. Send the women of your land in among them. Allow them to go in. Don't send your warriors in, but send the people in. Allow their hearts to be won. Allow their hearts to be influenced. Allow their desires to go out to the people of the land. The enemy is a very deceitful and treacherous and tricky foe. The enemy will try to deceive our hearts, the very elect, if it were possible, by influence, by the influence of others. You know, the enemy wants to work through familiarity. The enemy wants to cause us to make a league with something that we have no business making a league with. He wants us to begin to see false doctrine as not as dangerous as what it really is. He wants to cause us to begin to see Babylon as a friend to be embraced side by side. He wants us to see the world as something that we can be friends with, that we can live among, that we can look like, that we can dress like, that I'm able to handle these things, that I'm able to control myself. But the warning to the children of Israel and the warning to us was, be careful. Be careful with the influences of the land around you. Be careful the influence of others. Be careful of the enemy's ability to work through others. People are not our enemy. But the enemy and the spirit, we heard this morning about the spirit of the Antichrist. It's not a person we're looking for. It's not some enemy that we're going to set eyes on. And that's not the weapons of our warfare. That's not the battle that we face. But it's against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world. It is a spirit that we are fighting against. And that spirit would try to get in and work in others to influence us. He would try to get in and work through the world to influence us by peer pressure. Maybe I say, well, I'm beyond peer pressure now. Am I really? I can never get to a place that I think I'm beyond being influenced. I'm beyond the influence of others. The enemy will try to work through the world. The enemy will try to work through the religious. The enemy will try to work through those who are closest to us, through our family. The enemy would like to be able to influence. Influence is something that generally takes a little bit of time. It's a working with the mind. It's a leavening process that begins to happen. It's a seed that's planted. It's a thought that's introduced that I don't check when I ought to check it. And I think I'm strong enough to control it, but if I'm not very careful, if I don't recognize those boundaries that I can't go there. I can't fellowship with that. I can't partake of that. I can't join arm in arm with this. I'm susceptible to be influenced. If I am not very careful, I myself can become a shipwreck. I can allow my own mind and heart to be influenced by my children. I can allow those who are closest to me, though I have known and preached the gospel. I can allow that to draw me away. I can allow them and their direction and their thinking and their intellect and the thoughts that they introduce. I can allow that, if I'm not careful, to leaven my heart, to have an influence upon me. May the Lord help us today to guard ourselves against the influence of others. And I don't propose this morning that that the answer is that we're to gather together and have a secret society somewhere or a compound that we go and lock away our family that don't believe in the world and we have no contact with them. The Lord has a better plan than that for us. I don't ask, Jesus said. I don't pray that you take them out of the world. I don't pray that you remove them from the world, but keep them from the influence of it. Keep them from the power of it. And you know the Lord has the power to shield us from all sinful leaven. He has the ability and the power. It is us working together with the Lord, our willingness and the Lord's power that will keep us from the leaven and the influence. And it's going to take the Lord's grace and His help. If I can get to the end of life and hear Him say, well done, I'll have to say, Lord, what a miracle. What a miracle that you've kept me from bad influence. Let's turn and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians 15 in the 33rd verse says, be not deceived. You know, anytime we read that, it ought to be a flag that tells us stop and pay real close attention. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Don't be deceived. Don't think yourself beyond the reach of influence. Don't think yourself in a place that I can't be touched by influence. His warning to the Corinthians here, mark those that are among you. Be careful of the influences. What did Jesus call the doctrine of the Pharisees? He said it was like unto leaven. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware that leavening influence that it can have in your heart and in your life. Lest those thoughts, and you start to introduce it and you start to entertain it. Saints, there's a reason why we are careful who stands behind our pulpits. There's a reason why we're instructed to know those that labor among you. The world as it goes into the direction in the church world of an ecumenical spirit. And I mean by that a spirit that would say, let us all lay down our differences. Let us all forget the differences that separate us. Let us all join arms one in one, just hand in hand. And you come and preach in my pulpit and I'll come and preach in your pulpit and we'll share and mix and mingle. Folks, the Lord wants us to be able to reach those that are lost. He's not calling for us to go live in a secret society somewhere, but He's calling for us to keep ourselves from the leaven of false doctrine. There is a danger. There is a leavening influence. There is the power that the enemy has to work through something that could seem harmless, through a teaching, through a doctrine, through a philosophy that's brought out. And so many times we see Paul addressing in his writings unto the churches,
Be careful. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, to the Galatians. Who hath bewitched you? Who has caused you? Who has hindered you? What is it that you have allowed to come in and influence your mind and your heart, that you've allowed to exert some pressure and move you off of where you were? If it was possible for them, folks, it's possible for us today. It's possible for us to get into a place that I let down my guard, that I let down my guard where my guard needs to still be raised up, where I don't try the spirits and I get into a place that I get very familiar with unclean spirits. There's a danger. I may start out by thinking I recognize it. I know that's not right, but we can have fellowship. I can work with this. The danger here is not. He said evil communications. You know that communication here is about more than the words that leave our mouth. Communication is about more than just the words that we speak to one another. This isn't teaching, I don't believe, that you don't even speak to them. The scripture does teach that there are instances of heresy. There are instances where people will teach false doctrine. Well, that where they will bring in damnable heresies among you. And the instruction is to put them away. Don't allow that influence. Don't have anything to do with that. There is a time that we have to draw a line. There is a place of separation, a place of distinction. But I believe that this is telling us, guard your interaction. Guard the fellowship that you have. There's a difference in friendliness. There's a difference in being a friendly neighbor. There's a difference in showing kindness and love to one another, and having the kind of fellowship that belongs to God's people alone, that belongs among brethren, that God through His Spirit, as you walk in the light and as I walk in the light and we have fellowship one with another, that is where the basis of our fellowship is. And we can't reproduce that in any other way. And if we do, there's danger. There's something there that can influence us away from the sound, lest your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Oh, may the Lord help us that my mind not be corrupted. It's simple. It's clear. It's easy to be understood through the Spirit of God. If I don't allow myself to be influenced, I don't allow myself to be drawn away. I'd like to look at the book of Jude. You pray for us. The book of Jude. And get there. Jude 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know, the Lord came to seek and to save each one that's lost. The Lord came to bring salvation to the lost, to those that have never heard it, to the deceived. The Lord Jesus died for one and all alike. But do you know, for us as a people who are susceptible to influence, there's a warning. It says, make a difference. Or make a distinction in what you're working with, in how you work with it, in how you reach people. We don't reach the world by becoming the world. We don't reach Babylon by becoming Babylon. We must be able to make a difference, to draw a distinction, to be, and Lord, give us the wisdom to know how to be able to go and reach those that are in blindness, to reach those that are in darkness, to reach those that are in confusion. But what does the scripture say of those who are caught in failure? Ye which are spiritual, Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, realizing that I myself, when I'm dealing with a spirit, whenever I'm dealing with the enemy, whenever I'm dealing with something, Lord, I could be influenced. I could be drawn away. Lord, help me. Give me discernment. Give me understanding. May I have compassion on those that are around us, on family members. I'm not proposing that we shun family members, and I'm going to have nothing to do with them, and I'm not going to call, and I'm not going to answer the phone, and I'm going to show them that I'm something different than what they are. But there is a carefulness for us to have, that we guard where our heart goes out to. And neither does it say that I have to go around just as suspicious and doubting, and I'm not going to have anything to do with you, but yet I do have a guard within my heart. I'm going to try the spirits. I'll be friendly. I'll smile. I'll be a friend to those that are in need. But there is a guard that I must have. Realizing, recognizing the way that the enemy would try to work through the spirit of influence of others. Children of Israel, back to their story. Let's look at Numbers 11. Numbers, the 11th chapter, in the 4th verse, says, "In the mixed multitude that was among them." You read, whenever the Israelites left Egypt, that there went with them a mixed company, a mixed multitude. Read in another place, I believe it is, that it was telling about some of the children of the children of Israel, the younger ones, whose father was an Egyptian. And it was talking about their conduct and their behavior, and they were of a mixed multitude. And it says here, the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat?" You know, people, I know some tend to be more leaders and some tend to be more followers, but the Lord saw us all as sheep needing a shepherd. He saw all of us as being vulnerable to be led. Be careful to the voice that you hear. Be careful to the shepherd that you allow among you to lead you. If the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. The children of Israel, if you notice here, the mixed multitude that was among them, there was something as they fell to lusting, as they allowed and they started murmuring and they started complaining, it was something almost as if it was contagious. It was something that began to spread. It was something that soon the children of Israel, they also began to do that. You ever work with somebody? Perhaps Monday morning, they got the gloomies and there, things just aren't going, grumbling and complaining. What does that do to the atmosphere of those that are working with them, the environment? You know, there's something about that that's contagious, the spreads. You know, on the other side of that also, the joy of the Lord ought to be contagious. The joy of the Lord in the countenance that I bring should be something that is like a spark to those that sit in darkness around me. The multitude that was before the trial of Jesus, whenever a few of them start crying out, doesn't take long, they're all crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Influence. The influence of others. You know, I see it in our fashions of our world today. You've seen some of those fashions, the way people dress, the way they do their hair. So where did that come from? Who gave you that idea? It's not just an idea many times that I had myself. There's an influence. There's something that sometimes is even almost imperceptible. By the things that I see, by those that I respect. And I want to give us a caution there as well. Do you know, we can look at our world today. We can see ministers in the church world who it seems like have done so much. It seems like they've reached so many. And we can think, as I look at the doctrines that they teach, the things that they teach the people, and say, but they're doing so much good. But they've reached so many. It seems like they've been so influential. Be careful the influence of others. Be careful the spirit that works underneath. We give the Lord the room to work with each one. Lord, you know where they stand. You know the understanding that they have, but you know the danger for us? Even whether it's minister or whether it's those that are in religious confusion, they're good people. You know, I know so-and-so, they go to this place or they believe that or they do this in their worship service, but they're such good people. They're so kind and they do so much good. The devil, if we're not careful, will try to confuse our own minds. Look at you. Yeah, you're holding to this that you believe to be truth, but are you reaching the numbers of people that they're reaching? Maybe it's not so important after all. Maybe the things that you're believing and holding to, maybe it's not so important. Maybe this ecumenical idea is the right one. Look at all the good they're doing over here and they're doing over here. If we could just lay down our differences, and I'm not talking, I believe you understand this morning, I'm not talking about differences of personality or differences of the kind of people that we are, but I'm talking differences of spirit, differences of doctrine, things that are not compatible with the spirit of truth. But yet I can allow myself to be influenced because I do want to reach those. And I believe that there are those that are honest and sincere. But if I'm not careful and I don't have a clear vision, we heard in the prayer request of discernment, if I don't have discernment, if I don't have a clear vision myself, if I let my guard down to be susceptible to influence, what will happen is instead of reaching them and drawing them to more of a fullness, because maybe the Lord in working with them understands and knows they don't have a fullness of truth. They don't understand. I'm trying to draw them. I'm trying to lead them. But the enemy would like to show the other side of the card. Look what good people they are. Look how sincere they seem to be. But yet, they don't do this or they do that. So maybe you should come down to that level. Maybe you should just average it all out. And just come down to the same level where you're all equal and you extend fellowship, spiritual fellowship and communion one with another because of that. May the Lord help us to be able to, with compassion and discernment, make a difference or a distinction. To be able to know how to reach those that are in need without myself being influenced or being drawn away. So the scripture we read said there are some that must be saved as if from the fire, that I reach out to them realizing the danger they're in. I have a love for their soul and I'm not coming in a way that's harsh and condescending and critical, but I recognize the soul that I love, this soul that I'm trying to reach, they're in danger. The flames, I see the flames, I see the danger that they're in, and I want to reach them, I want to show them the love of Christ, but I want to be able, not for myself to descend into the flames, but to say, give me your hand, there's something better to draw you to, there's something better to show you than that, there's something better that's true and that rings true and that is sincere, let me bring you to that, let me help get you to that level instead of being brought down. The scripture warns us, I believe in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, what fellowship hath light with darkness? What fellowship hath Christ with Belial? Be careful of what you offer fellowship to. Be careful what you join yourselves unto, just like the children, the young people that we mentioned, as they, the different ones have tried and have thought, I'll find someone of a different persuasion or of a different faith or that has no faith and I'm going to win them and draw them. But so often it's the case that it's the other way around. That influence is the other way. And so the Lord gives us this good counsel. Be careful. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And it's not talking of waging warfare against individuals, but the spirit of darkness. That spirit that would try to work through systems of religion, that I recognize, yes, there are sincere people, but there is a false spirit at work here, and it's dangerous, and it's like the flames of fire. If I can reach anyone through the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit can draw us together, then praise the Lord for it. But I must at all times guard my own heart from the leaven of influence of others. Leaven is something that is so small, imperceptible. It seems trivial. What differences are there between us all? All of the different ones that would call themselves Church of God even. What differences? Let us just, it's just leaven. Just leaven in your hand. It's just less than a teaspoon. Is that worth not joining the whole loaf together? Folks, there's influence in leaven. The danger of leaven is that you allow it to get in there and it begins to grow. Those thoughts, that spirit, the influence of it begins to work in the hearts and minds of the people, and it can draw whole congregations away from the foundation of the truth. May the Lord help us to guard ourselves against the leaven of the world. James says, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" Don't you? And you say, "Well, wait, aren't we supposed to be friendly? Aren't we supposed to show ourselves a friend?" There's something of a companionship. It's what Solomon warned as he was writing unto his son. Many times of, be careful, don't keep the company of those that wait and lurk after blood, and don't keep their company. There's a danger there. Don't join yourselves in fellowship. Be careful who you spend time with. You know, I look back over my own short life, and I see critical places in my life that I look back and I realize so easily, so close I was, that I could have been drawn away at that point in my life. I was right on the verge that I could have. But you know, one of the things that helped, the Lord used to help keep me, I put some distance between me and the world. Whenever my high school friends were saying, "Let's go out," and you know who I spent my time with? The saints. The children of the saints. There is something important about the fellowship that we have. There's a reason why the scripture says, "Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is." Fellowship is needed to draw strength from one another. But the enemy would like to offer that in other places or in other ways, in a way that can begin to influence and leaven my heart and mind. In college, I'm so thankful that I had nothing to do with the Greek fraternity life. There is an influence of companionship with the world, of joining myself in friendship to the world's ways. What did Jesus say about, if you're of the world would love you? But because you're not of the world, you don't subscribe to the world's ideas and modes and fashions and mannerisms and thoughts and speech, you don't conform yourself to that, the world's going to hate you. There's going to be a distinction there.
Friendship of the world is enmity with God. May we walk in the light as He is in the light, recognizing that there's a danger for every one of us. No matter how long I've been saved, no matter how long I've walked this way, Lord, help me to guard my heart from the influence of others. Lord, help me not to let down my guard and become susceptible to the influence of the enemy in trying to work through others. Maybe it's those that are closest to me. Lord, help us to examine ourselves. Lord, have I been influenced? Are there some places that I've allowed? I'm not seeing things quite the way that I used to. Started to become a little confused about some things. Started to have some questions. Some of the philosophy and the things that I've heard have started to make me wonder. Guard yourself. May the Lord help us to guard our hearts against the influence of others, to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And the Lord might be able to present us as a people that have, not that's removed ourselves as a recluse from society, but that's kept our hearts
pure and holy and untouched from the spots of the flesh. From the spots, it's what we read in Jude there. Those that have their garments spotted by the flesh. You go down into the pits where the garments are spotted by the flesh, yours will be spotted as well. Can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? May the Lord help us to keep ourselves unspotted from this world. Appreciate your time. You pray for me.